This is The Shrunken Planet. I'm your host, Jeffrey Davison. I am in the studio with Marisa Anderson. She is from Portland, Oregon. Marisa, thanks for coming down. It's so great that you could make it today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Cool. So, Marisa's a guitarist, as fans of my show know. I've been playing a bunch of stuff, not only from the Golden Hour, but some of her early things. And I was reading on your website that you started as a classical guitarist.
Yeah, as a kid, I played classically. I had, you know, lessons, and I went to college for a very short time, about a year and a half, and I studied classically there and quickly left.
Now, when you were a kid, was the guitar your idea, or were your parents interested in rounding your education by having you learn a musical instrument, or how did that happen?
My mom is a musician. She plays piano flute, and she sings. And her idea was like that learning music was as important as learning to read, you know, or any of the skills that kids learn at school. And my first instrument actually wasn't the guitar. She had me playing the recorder for in order to learn how to read music, and also because she was a flute player, so I could just tag along with her to her when she went to lessons, and then her flute teacher would give me lessons. And playing the guitar was kind of an accident, because I thought I was supposed to play the clarinet. The whole talk was, oh, you play the recorder and it will set you up for playing the clarinet, like in the school band or something.
Okay, right.
And I was like, I don't want to play the clarinet at all. I really don't. And she was like, what do you want to play?
What was that about? I mean, why were you so fearful of the clarinet, or why did it not interest you?
I'm not sure. I never thought about that. I just didn't want to play it. I ended up playing saxophone for a little while, and I liked that. But my dad made me play in the garage, and I was scared of the garage, so that didn't work out.
I mean, I know as a kid, sometimes certain instruments don't appeal to your whatever it is. Like guitar has a certain cachet to it, which a clarinet or an accordion might not, although accordion has come back in a sort of a cool instrument now again.
I don't think at that age I was very aware of that. There wasn't a lot of the music in my household growing up was classical and country music. My dad listened to country and my mom listened to classical, and on Sundays there would be opera playing. And I didn't really get a lot of, I lived in a small town, so I didn't have a lot of exposure to, we didn't have a TV. So I don't think I was really that aware of like the cultural cachet, as you say, of the guitar. I think that by that point I had switched to a different recorder teacher, and he also taught guitar and I liked him. I think it was more about that.
Oh, okay. Your folks didn't have a TV because they felt it was a bad influence. I know I've known people who have raised kids without television. What is it, that kind of thing? Or
I'm not really sure. I mean, sometimes we had one, and then we wouldn't. I don't really know why.
So the guitar appealed to you by virtue of this guitar teacher, and then,
I liked my teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when did you somehow make the switch to what you're playing now? Because this is, I wouldn't consider classical guitar. It's more like blues and country-based, but...
Yeah, well, I've been playing for over 30 years, so my playing has taken a lot of different routes. I tend to get really obsessed with something for a few years and just go deep into it. Like, I played nothing but Irish music for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just... Well, I was teaching myself how to flat pick and also to do some arranging. And so it was in the time of transitioning, really, between being a classical player and being, I don't know what kind of player, but I would take like traditional Irish tunes and arrange them for finger style, and then also just learn to flat pick by playing them as fast as I could with fiddle player friends. That's just a sideline. I'm not that passionate about Irish music per se right now, but I think that what I do, I think that the technique that you learn, the physical technique that you learn in classical music is, and especially if you learn it from a young age, it's unbeatable. I mean, you know, just how to use my hands and how to use my body and how, you know, I can play fast, I can play slow. Just proper technique will get you really far. And then
I imagine, yeah. The classical players seem to be very, very keyed into a very precise way of playing, and then... to get that, like you're saying, your the technique, what I'm calling precise is what you were just referring to as, you know, a very highly polished technique. Maybe polish is the wrong word, but just practicing over and over to get it.
It's a specific technique. It's like being an athlete, right? Like, you know, everyone knows how to run, but if you're a runner, you have these, you know, this awareness of your body.
The mechanics of
it. Yeah. So I think that having that awareness of, like, the neck and the shoulders and the arms and the hands. And it's not that I play with good technique now, because I would never say that I do.
Okay.
But that does, you know, it informs me as a player. And I teach and I really encourage my students to have better technique than I do. But that's where the classical stuff really comes in, I think. And then, so I said I went to college and I quickly realized that was the wrong place for me. There was a teacher that I had there and he was really, really obsessed with the state of my fingernails, which is also a very important aspect of classical guitar playing.
Classical, sure.
You know, I mean, it was in service to, like, he was trying to get me to hear good tone and have good tone. I think that it would have been better if he just, like, approached it from a tone angle rather than just, like, I would show up for my lesson and he would just file my fingernails for a half an hour. And I was like, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous.
That's an expensive filing process.
Yeah,
there.
I was like, I didn't come for a manicure. Like, really? I want to play music. And also at that time, I went to college at a state school in Northern California in the late 80s. And all of a sudden I was around all these people that were playing guitar in ways that I hadn't ever heard before, really. And it was just like mostly hippies playing folk songs and Neil Young covers, you know, but I was just like, how do you do that? I came from this kind of world where I didn't know other people that played guitar. That didn't come from, like, my family was musical, but not that kind of musical.
So even that guitar teacher that you mentioned was primarily focusing on, or exclusively focusing on, classical. So you hadn't really explored the worlds of folk or blues or.
He gave me classical, we worked on classical stuff, and then he taught me chords, like, from, like, soft rock songs, like, I don't know, Linda Ronstadt or something. And I had actually never even heard a lot of the songs that he gave me, so I was just, like, playing these chords, like, I don't know this stuff. And it kind of wasn't until years later that I even, like, heard some of the songs that I played back then. He was a good teacher. I never found teachers that really felt, like, very relevant to me personally, though, with whatever they gave me to play. I don't know why.
That might be more an element of luck or who crosses your path or that sort of thing. In terms of what music inspires you now, or what kind of influences you're drawn now, do you go to recordings, or is it just the people that you meet and they refer you to other things, or do you go on the internet and find out that way? I mean, some musicians seem to go to sessions or hang out with other musicians and find things that way. Oh, have you heard this? But how does it work for you? How does music come into your life?
Well, there's really good record stores in Portland.
I go
to the record stores and I look for stuff that looks interesting that's under $10. I'll listen to it, and if I like it, I'll take it home. That's a lot of music that I find is just stuff that, you know, piques my interest and I can afford it. And then, you know, as a result of playing with people, you know, I was in a band called the Evolutionary Jazz Band for about 6 years, and that was an incredible musical education. You know, sort of through playing with that band, I learned all this sort of about jazz, and especially, like, you know, like the more, like, Albert Eiler influenced stuff, the ecstatic kind of more free
stuff. The out stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and also, there's just a lot of African music that seems to get on vinyl through friends of mine, either whether it's like Mississippi Records or through the Sahel Sounds guy, Christopher Kirkley.
I don't know him, but I certainly have seen some of the African music reissues by Mississippi Records.
Yeah. So, you know, if I'll go down to the shop and Eric, who owns the record label, he'll turn me on to, like, whatever he's excited by. And so I learned a lot from him about music, and I don't know. You just pick stuff up. I don't really use the internet. I just got my first iPod for this tour, actually, because I knew I'd be driving really far. So I thought, well, I'll get an iPod because I'm tired of classic rock on the radio. iPods have been around a while, right? But I really only listen to vinyl at home.
Yeah. I'm a vinyl guy, but nowadays I am forced to listen to CDs because not everything comes out on
yeah.
on vinyl. But so, in terms of the kind of blues sound that you have, are there people that are either contemporary or older musicians that maybe aren't around anymore that you seem particularly drawn to?
I was at first really drawn to the Reverend Gary Davis.
Mm.
Because I was just fascinated by the way that the syncopation worked.
Mm.
Like, I had some written transcripts of his stuff, and just like looking at it and listening to it and just being like, how is this guy syncopating like this? Like, it's incredible to me.
He's a great guitarist.
Like, the way that the momentum of his stuff works, just, it blew me away. So I spent a long time kind of trying to copy that or trying to get that into my hand, you know?
Yeah,
get
a lot of people.
That real bounce that he has. So he was an early sort of blues influence on me. And then also Sun House. I really like Sun House. And I like Blind Willie McTell.
Oh, yeah.
Skip James.
Okay.
You know, some of the classics. I don't listen to a ton of blues. I don't have like a wide like listening vocabulary. But I listen to a lot.
What about more recent guys like Jack Rose and people like that?
I don't listen to very many recent, more like contemporary artists. I feel like we're all drawing from a similar well, and I don't know why, but I don't really need to hear that stuff, you know?
Mm.
Like,
Fahey was such an influence on a whole generation of guitarists, mostly acoustic guitarists, but a lot of people cite him, for example, for kind of a breakthrough where stylistically and just the way he would just bring everything together, blues, folk, country, gospel, and it sort of blend all those sounds together, but it doesn't sound like he was a big influence.
He wasn't, actually. I mean, he's great, and I've listened to him, but as far as an influence, I wouldn't say so. I think I go a little further back.
Mm.
And also, you know, as far as contemporary stuff, what I draw on more is electronic music, because I feel like the sounds and the arrangements are so incredible, and just the way that things can get layered and put together in electronic music, I find really fascinating. And I like to try and copy things that I hear in that forum, like put it on guitar and like take that and change it around, you know, and bring it back into the organic, sort of more analog world. I find influence there.
Yeah, there are guitarists that sort of seem to bridge the world. They make sounds that kind of have some analog in electronic music. When I think of Tom Carter, Christina Carter, and people like that, where they're playing electronic music, but they're doing extensive pieces, and they have that drone
mm-hmm.
thing going on. But I was wondering if your pieces are not like that. But I was wondering if that
I don't know
those kind of people were.
I haven't listened to them. I did. Yeah. I don't know what to say about my influences. I feel like they're not actually very good. I don't listen to other guitar players, honestly, very much. That's sort of the least interesting thing that I can call up to listen to. Like, if I listen to other guitar players, it's like on a research level, not on a like aesthetic enjoyment level. I feel like I'm more informed by like all the music that's out in the world that I hear every day, and just the guitar happens to be my personal filter. Mm. For that, and I could be playing the clarinet and doing the same thing, you know what I mean? I had a teacher who once kind of cracked it open for me really well by talking about how the guitar can emulate so many different instruments, right?
Definitely.
And like so when I'm playing guitar, I'm thinking like, oh, my thumb, it's like, it's the drum, it's the kick and the snare, like if I'm doing like a alternating bass, or I will be thinking of it in terms of a piano, right? Like it's the left hand. The thumb is the left hand and the fingers are the right hand. Or I'm thinking about it, if I'm playing slide, in terms of a vocal line. Like, I'm really not thinking about playing guitar as a guitar. I'm thinking about, like, all the music and all the sounds in the world. And that's where that's actually my favorite stuff of Fahey, is his sounds, not his guitar playing. Like, there's one recording that I remember that's just, like, feet crunching on gravel. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's just something.
You know, it's one of... And that is actually, like, my favorite John Fahey piece.
Because he did some, for lack of a better word, some stranger things later on in his career, not just the guitar stuff, where he would do more, what you'd call experimental stuff. So maybe it was in his stuff from the 80s and 90s and whatnot.
Yeah.
He did some pretty out stuff. So I we could definitely talk all day. This is fascinating, but I know you brought your guitar, so we'd love to hear some of that.
Sure, I'll do that.
Great.